I'm going to ask Billy. Billy's here this morning. He's just taking a break from teaching, but I'm not going to let him off the hook completely, so I'm going to ask him to open us in prayer.
Father, thank you for a great hour of worship this morning, Lord. Preaching of your word from Brother Cal. Now we lift up Mike's here and ask that you fill him and anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Use him to bring glory to your name, Lord. Thank you for all that he is having to do here at the church. We lift up these prayer requests to you, Lord. Each one very personal to everyone involved. Pray for healing and wisdom. And we just need your grace, Lord, in all things, in every situation. And we seek that with you. Ask that you bless us this hour now, Lord, and open the word to us.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we begin this morning, let me ask you, how many of you have been to Washington? Ooh. Washington, D.C. Ah, good, good. What do you think about Washington, D.C.?
I want to go back and visit the monument.
Yes.
History.
It's amazing, the history.
I enjoy the history.
Look at the needed facelift, I think, right now.
I have the privilege every year for the past several years to go to Washington for a couple of days, two or three days. And I was in Washington this past Monday and Tuesday with a group called Citizens for Fort Campbell. You may have heard of that group. We go every year. It's a program established by the chamber for members to go and lobby on behalf of the men and women at Fort Campbell and the needs that they have out there. And every year, the commanding general will give us his list of priorities, and we're briefed on those. And then we take those priorities and we try to visit every single Tennessee legislature while we're there, and our senators, both senators. And it's an honor to do that for our men and women at Fort Campbell. But it never fails. When I leave the hotel every morning and step on the sidewalk, I sense the power that's in Washington. I just sense it. When you think about the White House, the home of the president, regardless of who's in office, that person is the most powerful individual in the free world. Then you've got the Capitol building, and where our congressional and senatorial legislatures are empowered by the people who put them there to make the laws of the land. They have a lot of power. And then around from that, you've got the Supreme Court building representing the most powerful judges in the nation who interpret our laws and have final say-so on any cases that come before them. And as I was flying into Washington on Monday, the plane turned to make its landing, and I always like a window seat because I like to look out. There was the Pentagon, representing the most powerful military force in the world. And then I'm always taken back by Arlington National Cemetery, where that represents the men and women who, through their power and courage, sacrificed their lives on the altar of freedom. I just think Washington oozes with power. And it's easy to see when people get there, newly elected officials or others working there, they don't want to leave, and that they get caught up in that power. So this morning, I thought we would look at the issue and drill down on the word power. And in particular, the power of our words. the power of our words. And I want you to see this video that Ellen's already got queued up for us. Ellen, would you? I wrote the same, just different words. I'm going to look at the power of our words this morning. And Billy, I don't know about you. I'm sure it happens with you too. Anytime I try to prepare a lesson, boy, do I get convicted when I'm reading the scripture and trying to put it down, and I'm thinking, Lord, you're talking to me. I don't need to present this. You're talking directly to me. So this lesson did convict me this week as I prepared it. I want to read, our focal passage this morning is going to be in James chapter 3, but there's some scripture I want to read as we get to that point. This is Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him, male and female. So, point number one. God created us in his own image. You would agree with that, right? Yes. You believe that? Yes. Okay. That's point number one. Here comes point number two. By faith we understand, this is Hebrews 11:3. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Point number two, would you agree that God spoke the world into being with his own words? Yes. He simply spoke the word and he created. So we're going to agree on point one and two. One, we're created in his image. Two, he spoke creation using his words, the power of his words. So as Christians, what should that tell us about the power of our spoken words? You think they're powerful?
I do.
Okay. Anyone else?
They can change things.
They can change things. They sure can. Yeah.
They can encourage someone.
Can encourage.
Or put them down.
Yeah, count to three before you speak. Because you can tear somebody up, or you can tear them down, or lift them up just from your words.
Yeah. All right.
Mike, I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly right, but it says the power of the tongue has life and death in it. Mm-hmm. So words are very, very powerful.
Very powerful. You know, of all creation on the planet, only humans have the ability to communicate with the spoken word. Our words do more than convey information. They definitely have an impact on people. So that's the introduction for the lesson. So turn, if you hadn't already, to James chapter 3. And we'll begin looking at verses 3 through 8. And I'll read those for us. James chapter 3, 3 through 8. And again, I'm using the New American Standard version this morning. Now, if we put the bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the indication of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Has your mouth ever gotten you in trouble? You don't want to share a testimony, do you? No. Okay. Of course. I think we've all, our mouths have gotten all of us in trouble at some point in our life. And have you ever said anything, and the moment you said it, you wish you could take it back? Ooh. Look at the word picture that James uses to compare the tongue. The tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. And if you're familiar with horses, it's amazing how that little bit controls that powerful animal. I just find that astounding. The rudder on a ship. When you think about a huge ship on the ocean, the rudder controls its destiny and where it goes, its direction. And he also said the tongue is a large forest fire. The power of the spoken word. Look again at verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. So, what do you tend to remember the longest? Negative words or negative comments or positive words or positive comments? Negative. Some of us are still carrying around the thought of negativity that was said to us for years back, and we still bring that to mind, that those hurtful words or those negative words that were said years ago, we still carry them with us. And this is how James describes the negativity and the hurtful words. It's like fire. This is going to vary in translations because I looked at different translations. Fire, unrighteous, wicked, pollution, evil, poison. The reason we remember those negative words and comments so and carry them with us for so long is because those words hurt us and they injure us. And those wounds remain for a long time. I can remember saying something at one point many, many years ago, and I still remember it to this day, and I wish I'd never said it. And this was probably, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, but yet I still remember it. And I said it, and I wish I hadn't. Now, remember, who is James writing to? Who's he writing this letter to? Believers. The church in the first century. Have you ever encountered these kind of words from a fellow church member? Don't answer. Don't answer out loud.
Don't mention no names.
Those hurt the most, don't they? Those probably stay with us the most. I turned to one of my favorite leaders for a quote. And y'all know who, probably already know who I'm talking about. Winston Churchill said, "We are masters of the unsaid words, but slaves of those we let slip out." Is that not powerful? Wow, in itself. Let's look at verses 7 and 8. As we go through our third chapter of James. "For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Constant reminder of just how powerful the tongue is. Isn't it amazing that we can tame everything on earth that can swim, crawl, fly, or walk, but we can't tame our tongue? Leonardo da Vinci said at one time, if You know, he was the famous sculptor and painter, and a lot of his sculptures and paintings, you never saw the tongue of the individual. And he said it was because the tongue had so many muscles in it, to portray it accurately would take a lot of time and attention. So he just left it out of most of his sculptures and paintings. Can the power of our words define who we are? Let's look at verses 9 through 12. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. The power of our words can determine who we are and what we believe. James says we have the power to bless and to curse. How many of you have ever been coming to church on Sunday morning? You're driving down the road thinking, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. And some bozo cuts over in front of you and slams on the brakes. And you're like, and you let loose with the same tongue, the same mouth, praising and cursing. I'm guilty. And it normally happens on Sunday morning. The praising and cursing, the power of our words can heal those around us or wound them, as we've already talked about. Do you remember the story of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? Do y'all remember that? Some of y'all are too young to remember that, probably. Dr. Jekyll was a wise and gentle man. Mr. Hyde was corrupt and violent. So, what was the unusual thing about Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? They were the same individual. Two different personalities. That's what James is talking about here. As Christians, we can praise and we can curse, and we're the same individual. That same praise and vile that comes out of our mouth, and we're the same person. And James says, brothers, it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Well, where do our words come from?
We hear them growing up.
You hear them growing up? Well, I'm going to read, I'm going to jump over and read from Matthew chapter 12, 34 and 35. These are the words of our Lord and Savior. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. Jesus reminds us with his words that our words that we speak come from within. They come from the heart. I've heard this expression used before. The tongue is the bucket that pulls the water out of the well of the heart. And what it pulls up is what is released. And is it pulling up good or is it pulling up evil? Ephesians 4:29. I'll read this for you too. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. Apostle Paul wrote, do not let any unwholesome talk. The Greek word unwholesome translates to rotten and foul. And that word was often used to describe rotten fruits and vegetables. So that's what Paul is saying. Don't let any of this rotten and foul stuff come out of your mouth. Unwholesome talk. When one becomes a Christian, there's an expectancy that their language and words will change, that there'll be a difference. And we all struggle with that. I struggle with it. But the expectancy is our words would be different. Paul says, so that they will give grace to those who hear them. Let's go back to James now. Boy, y'all gonna get out early today. We're moving right along. James 3:17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. If we allow the wisdom from above to empower us, here's what our words will look like. They'll be pure, peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, good fruits, without favoritism, without hypocrisy. These are the things that should come from the overflow of our heart as a Christian. I find Proverbs to be one of my favorite books. All those nuggets of gold that are in Proverbs. And listen to how Proverbs defines the power of our words. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the righteous is like choice silver. Proverbs 10:31. From the mouth of the righteous comes fruit of wisdom. Proverbs 12:18. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise adorns knowledge. Proverbs 15:4. The soothing tongue is a tree of life. Those are powerful statements that are found in Proverbs concerning the tongue. And it's obvious that our words can determine the direction of our life and the quality of our relationships. We'll go back to what our Lord and Savior said about words and the power of speaking the word, the spoken word. It continues in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37. So why is it important for us as Christians not only to speak positive, uplifting words, but, okay, Mike, I know Christians should do that, but why? Why should we be worried about what we say? There's going to be times we're going to say things we probably shouldn't, but why worry about it? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 through 37, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an accounting for on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Pretty strong statement from our Savior about our speech. The power to use words is a unique and powerful gift from God. As I said earlier, we're the only ones who can speak the spoken word. There's no other creature on the planet that speaks the spoken word. And our words are so important that we're going to give an account before our Lord and Savior on the day of judgment for what we've said. Our words have the power to destroy and the power to build up. Our words have the power of life and death, as Cal shared. That's a Proverbs too. The tongue, in the tongue is the power of life and death. So, are you using words to build up people or destroy them? Think about this past week. You say anything you shouldn't? Did your words help build someone up? Did they encourage them? Did they uplift them? A lot of times we miss the opportunity, and I've been guilty of this too, to say the appropriate word at the right time. If we're tuned in to what someone's telling us and they share with us something they're going through, we have the opportunity through our spoken word to give a positive, uplifting, Christ-honoring word to uplift them and help them in their time of need. If we're just really tuned in and offer that spoken word. I found this quote. It really has nothing to do with the lesson. Well, it does, but it's from Martin Luther, and I thought I'd share it. And I think there's a lot of truth in this. I really do. Martin Luther said, "The fewer the words, the better the prayer." How about that? Brings to mind the gentleman who was standing there beating his chest saying, "Forgive me, a sinner," while the Pharisees were praying these long, wordy prayers, and he simply said, "Forgive me, a sinner." The fewer the words, the better the prayer. So, that concludes what I have to share with you this morning, unless y'all want to discuss some things a little bit. Yes,
I want to say that as a Christian, like you were talking about, we'll be condemned for what we said or didn't say. But as a Christian, the fear shouldn't be that we are going to be punished for it. The fear should be that somebody else is punished because they might not find Christ because of what we failed to do.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I think also we're given freedom of choice, free will. God has, given us that. And so he's also given us the ability to say, say what you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It holds back.
That's true.
Mike, I want to share something positive. You mentioned words of encouragement. A word of discouragement speaks volumes. But so does a word of encouragement. I was at a funeral this week. It was Reese's sister's funeral.
And
it was like old homecoming week. All the folks we went to school with, graduated with, a lot of people were there. And Kathy Murphy was sitting in front of us. And she sent me this text not long after the funeral service. She said, "Cal, just wanted to say what a blessing your ministry through Second Mile has been to so many. I see it from the outside, but know you have reached so many in Clarksville that weren't actively involved in a church fellowship. And that warms my heart to see this. God truly led you back home to further his kingdom. And thank you for always being a friend. Enjoy this beautiful day, Kathy." Now, after reading that, I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol. I'm bragging on me. I'm just Kathy. See, she saw all these people that were coming into the funeral that the Second Mile is touched in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Holy Spirit. Man, a word of encouragement at the right time can really bless somebody.
Yeah. How uplifting was that?
Oh.
Yeah.
She sent it to me not 10 minutes after we left the funeral. I didn't even show it to you. I showed it to Diane the day before yesterday. Showed Susan just a minute ago. And anyway, I'll say that not to brag on me, but to just say what a word of encouragement can do.
Yes.
The tongue does have power.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think of this sweet lady sitting back here, Miss Betty, in her cars.
Yeah.
Yes, I want to say that I had so much encouragement coming back to me in cars. And they really helped you to heal, and I got flowers, Y'all are so wonderful. Thank God for a church family.
Yes. Yeah, amen. Where would we be without a church family?
Yes.
Like my mother used to say, if you can't say something nice, don't say
it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Boy, I never said that to them all. Yeah. We try to say something negative about somebody. Nope, if you can't say something nice, just don't say anything at all.
Many shared the word with me Friday about if we spend as much time praying as we do complaining.
Yeah.
I've done shared it several times. I tell you, I give her the credit several times.
That was mine. Doesn't it take 7 attaboys to get rid of 1 negative comment?
Probably not surprising. Yeah. Yeah.
For us who have raised children and those of us still raising children, that's the something we need to remember. That yes, they need discipline, they need firmness and structure, and they need you to get in their face sometimes, but they also need encouraging words. And as someone that works in the school system, y'all wouldn't believe what comes out of the mouths of even kindergartners. And we know they're not born talking like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes we just need to, all of us need to remember what we say, especially in front of our children, or what we let them listen to in front of our, you know, or in the house, or the radio, or their iPads, or whatever devices they have nowadays that I don't even know about. So.
Yeah. David?
They call him what?
Camel knees.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you know, he was talking to the Christians of the first year they were a church.
First century church.
Mm-hmm. And now, some of that maybe they were just trying to get them to do this and don't do that. But this is a lot, and maybe they had a lot of issues with that already in the first church.
I'm sure there's churches this morning that probably need to read James chapter 3, because their members are probably, there's probably churches that are just at each other. And they probably need to do a study on James chapter 3. Good discussion. Good word.
Yes, as a parent, you want to march to that school and find that child that hurt you. Can't do that. But yeah, that's our first reaction.
And being in the school system, those children, they only hear positive, loving words from you and not home.
Exactly.
Especially in today's time in the school system, with corrupt things are and just
home lives. You're right. Some of them.
We are told that, I've been doing this 27 years, that we are the best looking, best smelling, best spoken people that they see on a daily basis.
Sad.
It is sad. And it's gotten worse.
Hey, this is great. Y'all are doing a great job teaching the lesson this morning.
Come,
jump on in. You didn't want to get out of it. I know, you're just... Any other comments on the lesson today?
I believe that you surround yourself and sometimes you can't help, for example, your employment.
Yeah.
I love my job. I do. But there are times that I wish I could wear earbuds.
Yeah.
For several hours because the language that I hear in there, the foul talk that I hear in there. One of my coworkers even has told me their favorite word is the F-bomb. And, you know, when I was raising my children, there are certain things that I would not allow in my house because what you hear, what goes in, it will come out. And if you allow yourself, even if you can't help, like, for example, the employment I'm at, if you allow that to go in, it can take root. So you have to be very careful of what you put into your body, whether it's visual, taste, hearing, whatever it is, you have to be very mindful for that. So I have found that reading the word and putting that back in to replace all that chaos, I'll just put it that way. I mean, it's just, I don't like to hear a lot of that, but I am in the minority at my job. They're good people, but the talk that I hear is just, I cannot.
Yeah.
So you have to be mindful of what you put in your body.
You do. You sure do.
One thing I'll call you down on when you use the Lord's name in vain.
Yes. Oh, yes. I do too.
Yeah.
I was about 22 years old, and I had my first real job at Train, and I worked with mostly men, but a new fellow was hired from Chicago area, and he loved to take the Lord's name in vain, and bomb, and finally one day, I just didn't have all I could take. I was 22, and I just said to him, his name was David, I'll never forget, I said, David, I just have to tell you that just makes me sick at my stomach when you say those two words. I said, would you mind just not saying those in my presence? And did you know he never did again? I think it shocked him. But it shocked me that I said it, but I was just like, I cannot stand it one more time. I can't take it.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Yeah.
Is it true that the Hebrew language doesn't have first words?
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know.
Well, you know how far our nations come when back in the day, Gone with the Wind, the first word at the end, they had to pay thousands of dollars for him to say that one word. And now it is everywhere. That's part of what you put in your body. It is so mainstream. It, you know, things that was taboo then, it's everyday life, and our children are hearing this, and they don't think anything's wrong with it. You have to, as a parent, you have to know.
And the school system can't, people say, well, why do they let them talk like that? What are they going to do, suspend 600 kids at Clarksville High for saying cuss words? I mean, there's just... And that's where it goes back to. It starts at home, and it starts with what you let your kids, and it starts with how the parents.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. I ate a lot of seven when I was little.
I bet you did, Cindy. I just bet you did.
So it does start.
CW had something he wanted to share.
We will share CW.
Some wisdom, CW.
I'd like to. I want to use the right word at the right time. I'd like to thank whoever chose the music. It's one of the songs. They were a little more traditional. Yeah. But it reminds me of what Billy Graham said. He said they use contemporary music. It helps a lot with the youth. He said, let me caution you, don't put the old ones on the shelf. He said, really, the right way to do it would be 50-50. What does the church say?
Yeah.
Do we have an opinion?
I think Brother Andrew does some of both. Brother Andrew's the one that picks
He said 50-50.
Yeah.
50-50?
Yeah.
All right. As we close, I'll call your attention back to the film clip. She said, I wrote the same thing, just different words. The right words can make all the difference. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the time we've had. Thank you for this great discussion. Thank you for those that are here today and supporting the church and being in Bible study to hear your word. And now, Father, I pray, I just have to confess, I sure have been convicted this week as I studied this, because I know there's been times in my own life where my words haven't been appropriate, and I just pray that you help me to continue to be on guard with my tongue and what's said to the individuals that I come in contact with every day. Help us all, Father, to speak the appropriate, uplifting word at just the right time to those who are in need. And Father, I thank you for the sweet fellowship here at Second Mile Church. Thank you for the power of the spoken word, and help us to use it properly, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.